a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this week's version of the Dr. Kevin Show. I said version. Maybe I should have said edition. Probably edition would have been a better word, but version works, whatever. You never know what you're going to get when you tune in to the Dr. Kevin Show. We're waiting on tonight's guest to call in. We're hoping that something hasn't happened to him. But if it has, we will still manage to keep you amused and spiritually challenged. I'd like to start by letting you know here on Om Times Radio, you can call in live at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. When you come to My Dr. Kevin, there you will see the write-up about tonight's guest, how to get in touch with them, and you will also be able to post questions. Now, every now and then in this new wonderful age of technology, things get screwed up, the guest doesn't make it, the post is already out, but as we talk about different things on the Dr. Kevin Show tonight, if our guest does not make it, you will be able to still type in questions or call in questions, either way, and be part of the conversation, because it's all about being part of the conversation these days. You know, we've got to speak up if we don't love the way the world is, then we need to change it. We need to make shifts, and we need to have the fortitude and hopefully the communication skill set to discuss with each other where we differ, be able to take in our differences, be able to not be disrespectful, not have to have profanity, not have to, you know, point fingers, but to have intelligent dialogue. It's really a shame because I think that we've lost the art of intelligent dialogue. I think that it's a lost art a lot of times, especially when people talk about things like politics or other things going on in the world. And so we invite you to engage in intelligent dialogue tonight. To ask your questions or to offer your opinions in a respectful way. All respectful opinions will be shared on this show. I don't have to agree with them, and I may ask you questions, which does not mean I'm attacking you. I think we have to move away from the attack mentality. We have to move away from the us and them mentality. One of the things that I think we have to really understand is that the people in power, the people that are in control of so much of this country through wealth and lobbying group and their position to power, they benefit by keeping us at each other's throats. They benefit by making sure that we have an us and them mentality. They want us to wear tattoos that declare whether, you know, what is our religion and what is our political affiliation and what is our this and what is our that, so we can look and we can pick fights here. Well, they're taking advantage of the fact up there, where they're slipping things through to make more money for themselves or get more power for themselves, or just stay in power because we do not unify as a country and ask them intelligent questions. I mean, things like this whole shutdown. How many times does the government have to shut down? This was the longest one, but not the first time, where the people who are not getting their jobs, not doing their jobs, of all parties, Democrat, Republican, Independent, their job is to make our government run, not shut it down. They're failing. They get an F, a big old F. But what do? we get all riled up and the Republicans blame the Democrats and the Democrats are blaming the party. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the independent fault. It's the politician you put in Washington. Regardless, they play the game. And we have the game played against us. We hear completely incomprehensible comments like, well, why can't they just take payday loans? Why can't they just go to the bank? Why can't they go negotiate with the grocery store, their local grocery store, to give them money, to give them groceries on credit? How out of touch are they with the average American that they would even suggest such things? That they think that political ideologies are more important than the American people. And this is not to be a party conversation. And as I invite you to call in again at 202-570-7057 or to come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, I'm not going to tolerate it's this party's fault or that party's fault. It is politicians, regardless fault. They're not doing their job. They say, oh, we have to freeze the federal workers, but they give themselves raises. Oh, we're not going to pay this whole section of government. And in fact, not only them, but the contractors and the people all the way down. But we're still going to get paid. We're still going to get our salaries. We're still going to have all of our benefits. They are the nobility of America that are above having to deal with real insurance issues because they get the best gold-plated insurance plan for life, okay, that is not what any of us get in America. They can go in and serve one term as a House of Rep or as a senator or, you know, and boom, they have the best health insurance that they don't pay for the rest of their lives. How is that fair? How is that fair? But see, as long as they keep us bickering at each other, we're not calling them on their crap, on their double standard. There is a whole double standard. There is that top percentage and politicians, and they live by one standard off the backs of everybody else. Whether you're wearing a red shirt or a blue shirt, whether you go to a temple or a church, to a synagogue, whether you go to a mosque, it doesn't make any difference. There is a double standard in this country. And as long as they keep us fighting against each other, keep us fighting with each other, as long as they get us riled up and, you know, putting on our big white hat and pointing at that guy over there with the big black hat, then guess what? They're going to continue to win because they win. Oh, yeah, they're frustrated. Oh, they didn't get as many vacation breaks. They got called back into Washington. Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. No, they didn't have one moment of interrupted anything. And they don't have to worry when laws get passed or there are struggles over pre-existing conditions or the cost of health care or these things, because they're above it all. I think if you're going to represent America, you need to be part of America. You need to be part of the day in and day out America. The American who was not born with a silver spoon, did not have daddy or mommy giving them millions of dollars or head starts. They don't know what it's like to be an average American. They don't know it. But they are not above spending tons of money to find the right manipulative language and triggers. You know, this whole Russian thing, they talk about how much, you know, Russia manipulated the elections. But my question is, did Russia manipulate our elections any more than our politicians manipulate us? I mean, if anything, Russia may have just studied the Republican Democratic playbook of manipulation about how to create the infighting that's going to allow Washington to stay at its upper double standard level. All of Washington, all of the politicians and the elected officials and all of this stuff. OK, So Russia just took a page out of our own playbook in manipulation and spreading incorrect and false information. You know, now we don't even want to, the minute, if I said to anybody out there, we have a politician that is lying to us on average of 30 times a day, the answer would be only 30. Or they would be like, oh, that's horrible. But then if you say, well, but that Republican, but that is a Democratic politician or a Republican politician, depending on where they are, they'd be like, well, no, well, that was fake news. No, it's not fake. When they misquote something, when they put something out there, when something is clearly a lie, can we, you know, there used to be in the old days a jar where, you know, like if you swore, you'd have to put a quarter or a dollar or whatever. I think that maybe $100,000 per identifiable lie, that maybe if they had to pay a fine that went to help offset the deficit, $100,000 per lie. When you say something that is incorrect, and it is can be shown to be incorrect. And some of these, the fact checkers, I mean, they probably had to double their staff in the last couple of years. How about, and again, I don't want to get into parties here, because I don't believe that only the Republicans are lying. I think there's enough lies to go around. But maybe we should have a lying tax. If the American people are paying you and you put something out that's a lie, and that we should even judge this by, you know, do a blind poll. Here is the statement. Here is the meanings. And if over 80% of the people got the wrong impression by what was said, it's a lie. It was intentional. It was manipulatory. $100,000 fine comes out of your salary. And when you've used your salary up in the first 24 to 36 hours of your life in office, then you have to start paying it out or you get bounced out of your seat. And you lose all your benefits. No health benefits, no lifetime security benefits. You lose it all. $100,000 a lie. How quickly, and I invite you to call in and share. Let us know what you think. 202-570-7057. How quickly do you think we could pay off the national debt if we charged our politicians $100,000 per lie? Do you think we could pay off the debt in a year? 2 years? 3 months? I don't know. You know, it may be able to be done in 90 days. But the accountability piece, we don't keep our people accountable if they're wearing the same color shirt we are, if they're praying at the same altar. And let me tell you, because somebody says they're a certain religion, because somebody says they believe in something, look at the actions. Call a load of crap what it is, a load of crap. It's all mouthpiece. There is no actual anything that says you are living this kind of life, except for when you want to vote or donations. Yeah, you know, it's that great. Well, look how un-Christian they are because they do this. Oh, stop it. There is a reason why we got religion out of politics at the beginning of this country, because we knew how damning it was. Because you can say anything. Anybody can fall down to a knee and pray at the altar of how wonderful they are. Look at their actions. Oh, yeah, there's a couple of big showy actions. Let's go, oh, yeah, we can get behind that. But look at all their actions. Are they really Christian? Are they really Jewish? Are they really Islam? Are they really anything? What do their actions tell you? Somehow grabbing and groping women doesn't strike me as a very Christian behavior. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I'm not an expert on the Bible, but I can't remember saying thou shalt grab whoever they can get away with because we have a big paycheck. I don't remember that as one of our commandments. So stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Stop not questioning and keeping accountable your own people. What would happen? Imagine if your Democratic voters kept your Democrats in line, called them when they didn't do what they said they were going to do, called them on their lies, called them on the double standard, and the Republicans did the same thing to the Republican. What happens, and the independents, and I have I've said for years, if we had five functioning parties, it would break up a lot of this crap. It's the fact that we've got the big beach ball that goes back and forth. One side of the coin is red and one side of the coin is blue. But what would, imagine if that all of the Republicans got together at one place and all the Democrats at another place, and they started doing an integrity accountability for their politicians. What would actually happen? Instead of being turned like wild dogs who are rabid on the other guys, whoever they are, imagine what would happen if they had to keep their own people accountable, if they chose to keep their own people accountable, if they, instead of being manipulated, instead of being triggered, instead of being used by the party they belong to or the religion they belong to, imagine what would happen if they just kept internal accountability. What kind of country would we have then? We wouldn't have the Democratic and Republican politicians pointing fingers at each other, pushing the blame over the border as much as they can, misrepresenting facts as much as they can, twisting everything they can to represent how fabulous they are and how awful they are, if they had to be held accountable to their own people. But people don't hold their own party accountable because they're lazy. Because they just want to be semi-zombified. If you're not questioning your own quote-unquote party's officials, if you're not holding them to toe the line and actually create an America without a double standard, without a disappearing middle class, without the top 1% having more money than all the 99% below, and favoring and currying favor with those groups and those lobbying groups and those corporate officials, what a changed world we would have. How different would it be? The next time you want to yell about how they lied about this, or they did this, or they didn't do this, or they're this, stop. Clean your own house. Check and see what did your party, your people, vote for and not vote for? And where did they screw you over? We'll be right back with the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. Tonight's guest is MIA. I'm sure I'll hear back from him at some point. I hope everything is okay. Somebody that I've, known professionally for a few years, and I'm sure something has happened or he'd be on. Because he has a very high professional integrity. So I'm hoping that he's just okay, that there's nothing that's gone on that has unfortunately kept him from joining us tonight. He may still show up at some point, but we're just going to continue on. I wanted to, you know how I always do, the hot topic, something that either makes me warms the cockles of my heart, or gets me hot and bothered under the collar. Well, certainly the first session was some hot and bothered under the collar. Not that it was planned to be that way. It just kind of came out. I would like to remind you, come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. Post a comment under tonight's show. Even though it's not our tonight's guest listed, you can still do it. I'm watching that page. Or, you can do at My Dr. Kevin in Twitter, and I will see that as well if you'd like to tweet me a comment. Or call in at 202-570-7057. Since I clearly did a hot under the collar about the double standard of, the wealthiest and politicians being at the upper of the double standard, and the majority, basically the rest of the Americans, being at the bottom end, Let's move to something that's maybe a little bit more warm and fuzzy, shall we? We have this horrible Arctic blast. And I'm going to say a couple things. I don't know if you guys heard the governor of Kentucky accused the school system of kind of, being weak and wimps for, not wanting the kids to be out in what was, I think, about 20 degree below zero weather. But we're going to let that go by. I think Al Roker, if you look it up, kind of really led into him, along with a lot of other people, that this is we're getting some cold temperatures. I have a friend in Cedar Rapids who it was a 24 degree below zero, and with wind chill, it was 40 degrees below zero. People are dying from this cold. And the most vulnerable population is obviously the homeless. The homeless are always the most vulnerable populations when things like this happen, whether it's hurricanes, tornadoes, cold snaps, high heat waves. They're the ones that are going to suffer the most. And so one of the things I wanted to share, which I thought was just really touched the cockles of my heart, so to speak. A good Samaritan pays hotel tab for dozens of homeless in Chicago amid dangerous cold snap. Now, I've been spending a fair amount of time off in and out of the Windy City. I was just there at the beginning of January, and I'll be back there in April for another week to 10 days. I read this story. Some anonymous donor does not want to be identified. Paid for hotel rooms for several dozen homeless people who had been camped out in tents in Chicago as the temperature dipped to dangerously cold levels Wednesday. The Good Samaritan picked up the hotel bill for about 70 people after donated propane tanks that kept them warm in sub-zero temperatures were confiscated. And this was a report by the Chicago Tribune. And I got this off my Apple News feed, just putting it out there, so giving credit where credit is due. So the Chicago Tribune and the Apple News feed what brought this to my attention. So when they had a tank that blew up, the fire department came and said that they had to remove the propane. They couldn't let these people out in tents. Now think about this. We're talking 20, 30 degrees below zero. We're talking wind chill factors that's bringing it even colder than that. And there were people camped out in tents trying to not die of exposure with propane tank, right, by staying heated by propane tanks, which were so dangerous they had to be removed. So it warms my heart that somebody came up and said, hey, I'm going to give them hotel rooms for this night. That's going to be the temperature plummeted to 22 degrees below zero, and that's without a wind chill factor. Any of you who have ever been in Chicago, it's not called the Windy City for nothing. So we don't even know what the temperature really was if you factored in the wind chill factor. But this person opened up their heart and their pocketbook. You know, and some of us out there may have open hearts and closed pocketbooks for any number of reasons. We may have a closed pocketbook because we're just trying to get by ourselves. Maybe we've got our own expenses. Maybe we're trying to pay our own heating bill, which is ridiculous. Maybe we're trying to keep food on the table. There's, you know, unfortunately, there's a whole lot more poor Americans by number than there are rich ones. And that number is increasing. But there is something that we can do, maybe something we can help with. And so whatever little thing you do can mean so much to these people. You know, I'm not going to say open your homes to them. That probably would be a little crazy because you don't know. Unfortunately, some of these people that are homeless because they're mentally ill. Because we do discard our mentally ill, and we do discard our vets, which is just a shame on the American government that discards their vets, okay? But we do it. It happens. They're casualties of the American greed. And when you take this and you take one of the wealthiest worlds in the one of the wealthiest countries in the world and has tons of empty buildings in places and places that could be used for shelters and things that could go forward, and we'll let people freeze to death. That sounds like a third world country to me. So, you know, all I do is I ask you to consider. I couldn't pay for 70 people to have hotel rooms, even if they were sleeping two through rooms. I don't know that I could write a check for 35 nights of a hotel room. I don't know what the hotel was charging. Maybe rates are cheap in Chicago, but still, 35 times almost anything that would be a hotel room, I'm sure was not cheap. And there might have been a full 70. I don't know. This person could do it, and they did it. The question is, what can you do? What can you do when these times of trouble happen? What can you do if you see homeless on your city streets? Is there something that you can do? Can you help out at a shelter? Could you give some groceries to somebody, to one of these homeless shelters and things? What is your local, you know, church, synagogue, mosque doing to help these people? What nonprofits are out there? Maybe you can't give money, but maybe you can give a little time. Maybe you could just go and see if you got a few extra blankets that you could donate to a worthy organization that's trying to keep people warm. Don't look at what I can't do and walk away. Look at what can I do and walk forward. These are our fellow humans. Their life is not worth any less than yours is. You know, we have some really twisted and warped perceptions in this country that somehow, if you're younger, and it gets genderized, boys and girls, let's be honest, if you're a younger, more attractive woman, you have more value, attractive in some obscure thing. Because, all they're doing is seeing what the latest brainwash is from Madison Avenue of what's attractive. If you are, there are certain things that make people more valuable. Oh, well, they have an education. They're more valuable. Really? Life is an education and an experience. Do you know what any of these people's stories are? Would you even ask? We have the whole pay it forward movement. We have the whole, giveaway, do something nice for somebody else. And some people may object to this. If you'd like to object or comment or share, again, it's 202-570-7057. But it is about what can I do? And if I'm going to do something, how about doing something for somebody that's less fortunate? Doing something to help somebody. I love the Ellen DeGeneres show. I love a lot of the stuff Ellen does. And, and she, her most current thing that she does a lot, she ends the show with saying, be kind, be kind. And so I share this story because it's a story that says there are people out there being kind. And maybe you don't have a lot of money. Maybe you don't have a lot of stuff. Maybe there isn't things you can do in a lot of different ways, but you can still be kind. Sometimes an act of kindness makes the difference between somebody who keeps going versus somebody who gives up, who just lets go. There is a coffee shop in Chicago that I ran across. And I didn't make it there my last time. I may make it this time. I tend to be down in the great downtown, and this was out in the thing. But it's a coffee shop that actually is a place people can go, and the people behind the counter are trained to be listeners. And this guy started it because of the him having lost people, too many people to suicide. And so this coffee shop, which again is in Chicago, I don't have the name right in front of me, but I will post it. I think it's the Hope Coffee Shop, but it is Sip of Hope. That's what it is. It's Sip of Hope Coffee Shop. And I'm going to put it under tonight's, but it's the first coffee shop where 100% of proceeds support proactive suicide prevention and mental health education. I just love that. I think that is somebody that said, what can I do? I'm going to post the link to this coffee shop underneath tonight's guest, even though tonight's guest, unfortunately, has been unable to make it. But what is, if you're in Chicago, if you know of that coffee bar, if you check it out, see if there's something in your area that you can start. Maybe even a meetup group. Of some people that say, we would like to meet up at a place where we can have a meetup and invite people that, just need to not be alone. And, so I have done that, and you can look at it. Again, it's called Sip of Hope, and it's sipofhope.com. And it's a coffee shop. So that's the question for you. Why? What can you do that's kind? How can you make the world a better place? And it's just as I had a meeting this morning in a restaurant, and I have a commitment that I always ask the server what their first name is, because they're a person. They have a name. And when I address them, I address their name. Because I've slung hash. I used to say, back in the day, I slung hash and attitude, and I did both well. I still sling hash and attitude. I just don't do it at a restaurant. Just ask my husband. But, I always go out of my way to be kind to the people that are serving me, to say, have a nice day, to talk to them, to make sure that I see them and that they know that they're seen. Doesn't mean that I invite them to sit down and take part in the conversation. Though, actually, the person I was having breakfast with this morning, we did invite the waitress to sit down for a few minutes, and Kat sat down and we were talking, and I have a dream interpretation DVD, and I was talking to somebody that runs the center that wanted me to come teach some classes. And something was said about dreams, and the waitress heard, and she said, oh yeah, I had this dream. And I actually invited her down and to sit down for a couple of minutes. The restaurant was slow. I did a little mini dream interpretation for her off the cuff, just a little giveaway. Made perfect sense to her. Her whole energy lightened up. I found a direction in her dream that made sense to her, that gave her some hope about how to dig herself out of her current situation. And her unconscious and her subconscious, primarily her subconscious, but a little bit of her unconscious, was trying to give her direction and give her hope, but she didn't quite know how to interpret it. But, you know, all things come together. And she had that dream on the day she was waiting on me, and I gave her the interpretation. And before we left, she was already, every time she'd stop by, you could see the excitement, and she was sharing some of what she could do to help change a life that she was fighting to get out of and create a life that would bring her more joy. Be kind. Share. Treat everybody as people of value, whether you agree with them or disagree with them. In our first segment, we talked a lot about get away from the us and them and politics and who does it really benefit, and stop drinking the Kool-Aid and stop being manipulative. And now in this segment, it's be kind. There was a comedian who was making some too close to home, I suspect, Trump jokes. And somebody who was a Trump supporter got all upset and called him out. And instead of the comedian responding meanly or sarcastically or stuff like this, actually checked up to see who this guy was and found out it was somebody that was a disabled vet that was having a lot of health issues and bills. And the comedian started a GoFundMe to raise money to help this disabled vet get the medical care that some of the support and help that was needed to help him move forward, even though they politically disagreed. Because this comedian, though, made some jokes that had some truth to them, and this person took offense, this comedian chose to be kind. And a friendship was created because they looked past the divisiveness of today's political system. We will be back for the final section of the Dr. Kevin Show here on OM Times.
The Real Conscious Connection, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras. A new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help my son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the final segment of this week's Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. Unfortunately, tonight's guest, something has come up and they did not make it, so we're just having some chat with Dr. Kevin. We covered some derisive politics stuff in the first. We talked about kindness and how to help bring more light and love into the world through just simple acts in our second segment. And now I want to completely change what we're going to talk about in our third segment. And this is something that I had gotten from, I'm going to have to look and see where I got it from. But anyways, it is about something that just happened in Japan. And one of the things was that in Japan, it went to the Supreme Court, and the issue was about transgendered. And so one of the things was that in Japan, there is a law that if you feel like you are transgender and you want to get your gender changed, that you have to do it, you can only have that happen if you get sterilized. If you get sterilized and the quote-unquote incorrect genitalia is changed, then you can change your gender in the eyes of the nation. So I want you to just think about that for a second. You're here, and you're transgendered. You have gender dysphoria. You were born in the wrong body. And they're saying that in order for you to be born, to be recognized for that, you have to have your original reproductive organs removed. You have to get sterilized. What does that say about how that person is perceived? They're not allowed, if they want to change their gender, to ever procreate again. Well, that in itself is disturbing. I don't know. Is transgendered seen as genetic? But the Japanese, there was a 2004 law, and it was challenged, and the Supreme Court upheld the law that effectively requires transgendered people to be sterilized. So there's a few different things and why I bring this up. There are ugly little parts of the human psyche that want to crucify people that are other than them, or at least other than them on the surface. I invite any and all comments, as long as they're respectful, and you can do those through calling in at 202-570-7057, or you can do it by going to facebook.com/mydrkevin and leave your comment there. But transgendered has become a big thing. Trump won the transgendered, pushing the people that identify as gender dysphoric, not being allowed in the military or being forced out of the military. Japan says that they should be sterilized. Where is the humanity of compassion and understanding for people that are other than you? Of course, some of the problems, and I think that this happens sometimes with homophobia, is that they reflect back to you a part of yourself that you hate, and you have to turn that hate outside. So I want to do just a little reality check here. Nobody is born 100% male, and nobody is born 100% female. It just does not exist. We are all on a male-female spectrum. I sometimes like to use the term yin and yang to describe it, because then we get out of all of the gender BS that comes along the way. I did a series of presentations and talks that at some point I may do again, but it was called about how we abuse children in our society from birth. And that one of the great earliest child abuses is by trying to force them in a mold of what they have to be based on what is or is not between their legs. Just how disgusting is that? Instead of saying, you be whoever you are and we're going to support you to be the best you. No, you can't play with this toy, or you can't want that career, or you can't wear these colors, or you can't act in those ways. And, you know, and then those that want to use holy books to define, to justify their position, have yet to ever show me anything that would say that all little boys have to be this and all little girls have to be that. The interpreters, the controllers of the holy books do. But it's another way to disenfranchise a group, to take a group that is having a tough enough time as it is and make that time a little tougher. We just had an issue where the star of a man who starred in the series Empire, which I never saw, but had a noose thrown around his neck as there was racial and homophobic comments thrown at them. What has made hate so okay here? And what do these people hate so much in themselves? Why are they so angry and so frustrated? You know, there's that whole thing of if you don't want to wear pink, don't wear pink. Or if you want to play with trucks, play with trucks. But why does everybody else of your gender have to not wear pink or wear trucks? Well, play with trucks. Wear trucks. There you go. Wear trucks. No. Play with trucks. Why? Why is it so important that you push your agenda of right and wrong on somebody else? That does not affect you. When people try to quote me as wrong, if I talk about my husband or my spiritual belief or who I am in the world, and they use their holy book as the reference, whatever that holy book is, it's like, well, that's fine, but that's your holy book. That's not my holy book. I am not part of your religion. I am not part of your spiritual belief system. If I was part of your community, your spiritual religious community, if I was part of your little tribe, well, that's one thing. Then you can call me out for being a hypocrite. But if I don't bow at your altar, if I don't pray to your God, then you have no business preaching to me. I don't, it's not my Kool-Aid. It's simply not my Kool-Aid. And I resent the fact that people somehow think that they have this right to preach to people, whether those people are part of who they are or not, part of their own religious belief system. I have a meme that I release every now and then. It comes out in a semi-regular way, and it's actually called Bible Bullying. I'm posting it again under tonight's talk so people can look at it if they'd like. And I call it Bible bullying, but it really is about any thing. And in it, I talk about it's time to make Bible bullying illegal. A Bible bully is anyone who starts quoting Bible verses at you without getting your permission. What right do you have to quote your holy book to me? Never ask you whether the Bible is the holy book of your religious belief system and is unwilling to share the same respect to your belief system that they demand of theirs. Go to your church, bend on your knee, play with your rosaries, eat your flesh and blood of Christ. I don't care. I really don't care. Because I support your religious freedom. The only thing I ask is you support mine in return. And that you don't try to make your religious belief system my laws. Bible bully is anyone who only picks and chooses quotes out of the Bible for shaming, blaming, and maiming your psyche. Uses the Bible as a weapon while ignoring the Bible quotes that they don't want to be held accountable to. We all know those. They're going to pick this one out and that one. And you know what? This could be the Bible. This could be the Quran. This could be just the Torah or the Talmud. On this particular meme, I use the Holy Bible as my reference. But this applies to anybody. Live and let live. A mosque, a temple, a church, and a pagan grove of trees and people dancing and singing to the stars should all be able to be on the same street harmoniously. Every religion belief system out there preaches love, and so few do. And so we go back. We use these holy books. We use these misrepresentation, conveniently misused, only use what I want reasons to punish people that are transgendered or have a different sexual orientation than ours. The LGBTQ questioning, I run out of letters. I hope I got them all right. And I'm part of the community, and I can't even get them all right. But where is the love? Where is just the simple acceptance? Buddhists are beautiful. Hindus are beautiful. Christians are beautiful. Muslims are beautiful. People of the Jewish religion, Jews are beautiful. We're all beautiful humans having an imperfect and sometimes ugly existence. Choose beauty. Choose love. Be kind. Choose compassion. And put this out there. Because with enough kindness and enough love, we change the tide. We take back our lives. And in this case, we can take back our country. If we ask ourselves, is this a loving statement? Is this a kind statement? Does this support and promote celebrating who we are? Not just where we're alike, but celebrating where we're different. Teach me, show me. Maybe I won't agree with everything you say, but maybe I'll agree with one thing. maybe you'll agree with one thing I say. Maybe each of us will be a better person because with a kind heart and an open mind, we listened to each other. We had a chance to become more, not to isolate, not to become hostile, not to become a caricature demonstrating the worst of that which we believe in. Hypocrisy is at an all-time high. And hypocrisy runs very deep in religion and politics. And we can choose differently. You can choose differently. But before you can expect to be heard, you must be willing to listen. Before you want somebody to consider where you're coming from, you have to be willing to consider where they're coming from. Well, I hope you all have a great week. We will be here next week with Matt Connerton and a surprise guest on a first Thursday of the month. So make sure you tune in and we will see you there.